art, culture, politics, activism. Now, art in the pandemic age. Have you ever wondered why artists do what they do? What is their purpose? What are they trying to accomplish? I'm your host, Kyle Roman. Welcome to Artivism Now. Artivism, defined, is a portmanteau word combining art and activism. How is it that artists push the boundary of their medium? How do they move societies forward? How do they resolve issues in their neighborhoods, both local and worldwide? These questions are what we set out to answer by interviewing artists locally and the world over. We will get answers to those questions that artists put out there in the community.
On today's episode of Artivism Now, we welcome graphic artist from Anchorage, Alaska, Jessica Thornton.
All right, we are here with Jessica Thornton. Welcome, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's so cool to have people from all over, at least all over, outside of my own area of living. You're coming to us from Anchorage, Alaska, but you're not originally from Anchorage, Alaska, right?
No, I was born in Åbo in Finland, and I grew up outside of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. And then I spent 7 years in Scotland before I moved to Alaska about 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's a great way of like kind of summing up like the ability for you to see from multiple perspectives in your artwork, being that you have multiple perspectives in your own life and you've been able to experience many places. Your work right now is through the group called Native Movement, right? Maybe describe to us what Native Movement is, the mission and vision and such, and your work within.
Yeah, so I am the Arts in Action Coordinator for Native Movement. A Native Movement is an Indigenous organization. We have offices in Fairbanks and in Anchorage. And our mission, we are dedicated to building people power, rooted in an indigenized worldview toward a healthy and sustainable future for all of our communities. So as an organization, we support grassroots organizing across the state. And in my role as an arts and action coordinator, I'm really focused on supporting our campaigns and the issues that we work on through strategic art and organizing. So like events like art builds ahead of hearings or, and then also just general art support. So yeah, that's basically it.
Wonderful. And what, for example, what are some of the issues that you are confronting, you know, with the Native Movement group?
So the organization in general works on a lot of issues ranging from missing and murdered Indigenous women, to, you know, the Arctic refuge, preventing drilling in sacred places around Alaska, and then also just transition. So that's trying to figure out solutions for how we can transition to a post-oil economy in a way that is just and equitable. And then, yeah, basically any issue that impacts our communities we'll get involved with. But my work in particular, what I've been focused on, has really been supporting our climate justice work, our work on defending the Arctic Refuge, and just transition work.
That's fabulous. And you guys also find time to put out solidarity work with other kind of parallel movements. What are some of those, or at least one example of a parallel movement that you guys have supported or stood in solidarity with?
Well, I think in general, movements for climate justice, movements for indigenous rights and sovereignty. One of the issues that I have recently created artwork around was in support of the Mi'kmaq fishermen who are facing violence from white settler fishermen in Canada. And I think in general, we try to support these issues that are, and communities that are on the front lines of all of these issues across across the world and the United States.
Yeah, and you can find Native Movement on Instagram as Native_MVMT. And also Jessica Thornton Designs on Instagram as well. You could check out all of her artwork there and see all the multitude of issues that herself and the Native movement are standing up for. And then in terms of the art that would you would put out, the art medium, so to speak, describe what it is that you do art-wise.
So I would primarily describe myself as a printmaker. Before the pandemic, my primary mediums were linoprint and screen print. I'm also a member of a local printmakers collective called Tent City Press. But when the pandemic hit, I think like many artists, I started exploring different mediums because I wasn't necessarily comfortable with going into collective shared spaces. So I started playing around with my iPad and got a little bit more into digital art, which has been really fun because it's allowed me to explore color. So before the pandemic, I mostly worked in black and white. And that's definitely been like a development through these new mediums.
Yeah, that's amazing. Again, you could check that out on Jessica's Instagram, Jessica Thornton Designs. And so turning to you personally as an artist, what types of issues are at the forefront of your activism, like what you are personally involved with, like right now? Let's jump into the right now.
Sure. So I think for me, climate justice is the primary issue that I've like pretty much focused on for most of my artwork. And coming from the north, from Finland, I think the impacts that our communities are experiencing from climate change is something that unites us all in the north, unfortunately. So sort of celebrating our landscape, celebrating our way of life here in the north, celebrating our, you know, the way we connect with our food through fishing or harvesting and gathering has been a theme that runs through a lot of my work. And then also confronting the root causes of climate change. So anything related to that, really. And then also just showing up in solidarity with movements that are connected.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing we spoke about in pre-interview is, you know, how connected a lot of people are to one another nowadays, with certain solidarity movements, you know, just kind of creeping out. We really are figuring out, not only is the pandemic showing us how connected we are as humans because of how sick we can make one another, but also, you know, there's kind of an awakening about how really connected the Indigenous movements are to the climate change movement, and how interconnected our actions are to the climate change, or at least I should say to the anti-climate change movement, or, you know, however it needs to be categorized. Or is that something that you're seeing in your activism work, that people are, there's a little bit of an awakening in that?
Yeah, for sure. And I think also, you know, this is a big election year, so we're seeing a lot of energy around that. But in general, I think, I mean, I might be in a bubble because I work as a community organizer and I'm constantly in these spaces, but I do hope and I do feel like people are starting to make these connections, and, you know, people are starting to show up for issues that don't necessarily just impact them personally. So I hope that is a sign that we're starting to make the connections and look at the intersections of all of our issues. And I think I'm hopeful about that.
Well, I think the thing that you said just now, the intersections, the intersectionality is something that is the next step for a lot of people being able to make those connections across issues. You know, one doesn't have to go too far in North and South America to find tribes who have been either completely eradicated because of the effects of climate change, or have been completely eradicated, or even made refugee from their own land because of the direct actions of corporate America, the stripping of resources, just up and down the Americas. And we haven't even gotten over to Africa and what's going on over there as well. You know, how important is it for this, in this election, which is something we wanted to talk about, for people to pay attention to what these politicians actually stand for?
Oh, it's super important. I mean, and I think, you know, that's why I talk about climate justice and not just climate change, because especially as a white person in these spaces and doing this work, we have to start recognizing that the reason why we're seeing all of this devastation, all of this environmental devastation, is due to colonization and white supremacy and all of these systems that we are dealing with now. So as a white person, I think that it's important to always be aware of that and recognize that anti-racism work is part of doing climate change work. And showing up for the environment means also showing up for communities who are on the front lines of climate change. And most of those communities are BIPOC, or Black, Indigenous, people of color communities. So if we're actually going to find solutions to these issues, we have to be real about that and be willing to find our role in dismantling those systems.
Yeah, it's just as organized as those systems were in accomplishing their goals. I think we have to be as organized too. And I think as someone who has just reached the milestone of 40 years old in my life. I've seen, when I was younger, in my early 20s and hitting the streets with protests and marches. And then the event would have ended and people were heading to wherever they're heading to. And, you know, would see groups of people at the Starbucks around the corner. And I'm like, oh, we really have a long way to go.
and
this is like 2005. But we have come a long way, actually, in activist circles. You are seeing more, art movements in particular, public art movements with outward and explicit messages about the issues that they are standing up for. And to be honest, 15 years ago, there was, it wasn't like that. The last time that I was, hitting the pavement with protests and everything. At least from my perspective, it seems like there's some advancement of intersectionality among this newer generation. So what are you seeing daily in your work with Native movement that kind of gives you hope about people kind of waking up or making those connections?
That's a good question.
Well, obviously it's different now because you're not in contact with, a ton of people like you would normally be, right? In pandemic words, I should say. What are you noticing?
I think, we're adapting and we are, when I think about what inspires me, it's the people I work with. They're my community. My community is what inspires me. Despite all of these issues, despite all these huge problems that we face, especially when it comes to climate change and these systems and how they're impacting communities across Alaska, what gives me hope is that we have solutions. We are building coalitions despite things like the pandemic. We are still building relationships across not just the state, but nationwide, trying to find solutions for a just transition, for example. So Native Movement continues to do online trainings. We continue to do our work despite having to adapt to these difficult challenges that we're facing. And, when we're talking about the election, I have my hopes. And then also, there's still going to be so much work to do. But I think the message is really that we're not alone in this. There are a lot of people who are getting engaged and a lot of people doing this work already. So it's really about just finding your community and building those relationships. And that's where I draw strength and hope from.
That's wonderful to hear. And the election is of high importance. Here we are on October 28th, and most likely this episode is coming out much later. The election, let's start with Alaska and the state of Alaska. What are the important issues to Native movement in and yourself in the local elections in Alaska? Ballot initiatives or propositions and or people?
I think my top issues would be the Arctic Refuge. So the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, as it is known, was opened up for drilling through a tax bill. And really, whoever ends up becoming president, I think that's going to have a huge impact on whether we actually see drilling in the Arctic Refuge. So that's a number one issue. I think also the Pebble Mine that is proposed to be built at the headwaters of Bristol Bay. That's another big fight that has been going on for decades. And yeah. It was under the Trump administration where all of the protections that had been sort of built around this area were torn down, and the Pebble Mine was brought back to life despite, huge community opposition. So the election is going to have a huge impact on that as well. And then, of course, just climate policies in general. Yeah. The Trump administration has done everything in their power to erase everything about climate and environmental protections. So, and we saw Biden, he wasn't honestly my first choice, but he did speak out about transitioning off of fossil fuels during the last presidential debate. So that's a promise that we need to hold him to. And we have to pressure whoever is elected to, figure out how we can do this transition in a just and equitable way. Otherwise, the impacts of climate change are already here in Alaska, and they're going to get worse and worse and worse. And we need to figure out how to support communities that are needing to relocate, communities that are, facing coastal erosion, facing all of these uncertainty due to climate change, food insecurity, et cetera. And that's really what's, I think, at the top of my mind when heading into these elections. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's an enormous election, and we've had enormous elections before, but it seems like it pales in comparison to this one, especially with the pandemic backdrop, if you will, to every single issue that's propped up. And who knows, maybe we have the coronavirus to thank for us being able to look inwards on our own responsibilities for a lot of the world's issues. In terms of the election, and obviously I feel the same way about presidential candidates. It is reassuring when you have someone whose mind, changes based on, public pressure, if you will. And when Vice President Biden came out with that transition language, the academic in me is like, okay, that word means something. That word was, focus grouped. That word was, chosen specifically to kind of signal that, hey, this is something that could happen. And with most presidents, you do have to take the approach of not waiting on them to be the benevolent dictator or leader. We have to push these people to do things, I think it was Lyndon Johnson who said to the effect of, make me do it. I want to do it, but you have to make me do it. And we often do have to make presidents do things. And so I thought that was nice that you brought that up, because the work is never over, right? No matter if we elect a person that we might think is better, the work doesn't end there.
No, for sure. And I think when I heard him say the word transition, I immediately thanked all you know, that's thanks to the organizers, that's thanks to people on the ground, the youth movement, the youth right now that are getting involved and pushing elected officials to talk about transitioning off of fossil fuels. Like, I think we need to remember that this is any progress that we make with elected officials, it's because of a whole wave of people who have been working on this for, you know, years and years and years. So it was great to hear that. And then I'm also like, we have to hold them to that word because our communities can't wait. We need change right now. So, and
there's a certain level of urgency, right? That there's, we can't any longer just fall for campaign promises and waiting 4 years to see if they're fulfilled. It's no longer enough. And I feel like the fact that a lot of people are home and a lot of people are desperate right now. There's people without, food security. There's people without employment security, and they're not being compensated to actually sustain themselves. So there's a lot of urgency and desperation in people's lives right now that, are probably not going to give whoever's elected a lot of leeway in not fulfilling campaign promises.
Exactly. And I think that's where also that ties perfectly into what the role of art is in this moment. You know, we are in hard, hard times, and anyone who does community organizing work knows that this work is exhausting, and it's not a sprint, it's a marathon of like constant emotional work, because your heart is in this. And you care about these issues. So we need artists to bring out the joy in this work, to celebrate the wins when we do have it, and also to hopefully bring more people into the work, because we need to be growing our movements constantly.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the Instagram is Jessica Thornton Designs. And then follow that, and also follow Native_MVMT for movement, Native Movement out of Fairbanks and Anchorage. So in the election, what is directly at stake for what Indigenous people in Alaska?
Well, I think the Arctic Refuge is, as I mentioned, at stake. And the Arctic Refuge is, just for some context, if folks don't know, what we're fighting to defend is the coastal plain of the Arctic Refuge, which is where they're proposing to drill for oil and gas. And this place, is known to the Gwich'in people. They call this place the sacred place where life begins. That should already tell you that this is not a place meant for oil and gas exploration. It is in fact so sacred that you're not even supposed to walk on that land as a person, because this is the place where the porcupine caribou herd goes to give birth. And the Gwich'in people have, since time immemorial, had a relationship with the porcupine caribou herd. That's at stake. The Gwich'in people have been fighting against drilling in this place for decades. I think another organization I want to shout out is the Gwich'in Steering Committee. They're also on Instagram. They've been leading this work for years and years. That's at stake because the Trump administration opened up this area for oil and gas. And then we're also talking about the Pebble Mine out in Bristol Bay. And Bristol Bay is like, it's a huge area. There are a number of tribes and communities that depend on this place for subsistence fishing. And it's one of the last places on Earth where all species of salmon return to spawn. And then there's also a big commercial fishing industry that depends on Bristol Bay. So what is proposed is this huge gold mine called Pebble Mine. And as we've seen with other mines, there's a huge risk to the watershed around that proposed area. And this would be the largest gold mine in the nation, if not the world. Like, it's supposed to be enormous. And the people there have been speaking out for decades again. This is not a place for a mine. This is the last place on Earth where we have this amazing, you know, this amazing resource, and not just a resource as in like just purely eating resource, but we're talking about cultural and spiritual relationships to this land, to these lands and these waters. So, I mean, those are two potentially devastating projects. And yeah, a lot is at stake in these elections.
Yeah, that's it's an issue that kind of intersectionally relates to another interview I had with Havane Rios, a musician out of Hawaii, out of Hilo, and the Mauna Kea project, where they're trying to build the telescope, and there's some definite native and indigenous reasons why there shouldn't be exploration there, and so native movements and even that movement, Mauna Kea, the leaders, Havane and her mother, reached out to the movement on the East Coast, where the with the pipeline being built from north to south, and so are you seeing other Native movements reach out and connect with the movements of Alaska, or is there like a separation between you know, because of the geographic separation?
Oh, I think we're connected to a lot of work being done across the U.S. We've got organizers who, you know, went in person to Hawaii and have supported, and we've supported that as well as an organization officially, just showing solidarity.
Yeah.
I think, and then when it comes to pipeline fights, we had a delegation from Alaska who went to Standing Rock, and many of my friends were there organizing and, you know, helping at art tents, and were there for many months. So like, we have connections all across, and I think showing up for communities who are also dealing with the same kind of issues is super important, because that's how we become stronger. And, you know, sharing skills, sharing resources. We are part of a number of coalitions, so Global Grassroots Justice Alliance, for example, and connected with organizations all over the place. And that's another part of the work that I love. I went down to San Francisco for the Global Climate Action Summit. And we were there with like GGJ, Global Grassroots Justice Alliance. You know, other coalition partners, and we marched on the streets of San Francisco with folks. We took part in the blockades in support of indigenous communities there. We went and checked out, we went to Berkeley and learned about the shell mound, the fight for the Berkeley shell mound. I also have connections in Oakland too, and through Greenpeace and arts organizers in that area. So yeah, I think it's beautiful when you see that there are so many things that connect us, and yeah, we are all fighting these huge problems, but we're doing that in community with each other.
That's a fabulous sentiment, and thank you for summarizing all that great work and how you how your group and others are connecting. Because I find it fascinating that that you know people would make that connection and you know fly or travel all over this green earth of ours. You know, to stand in solidarity. And I think that's one of the most important things to lift up and to amplify is the fact that we do stand together. You know, those of us who stand for things, we stand with other people as well. You know, like we can't always just focus on, you know, what's good for us, because, you know, us means more than just, you know, who's here presently with me. You know, it means all of us, and that's a great thing. I think that your work and connecting with the election and how important that is, it's a good example for activists out there that you know, if you're thinking of sitting out an election, or you think sitting out an election is going to help something, that's coming from an extreme amount of privilege, because you feel comfortable enough that your life isn't going to change. And thank you for just completely eradicating that thought out of people's minds, whoever's listening, because it matters to a lot of people, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, also recognizing that a lot of people do vote because the system doesn't work for them. And the system has been built not to work for people. But I, you know, the way I think about it is it's at this point all about harm reduction, and we need to get people out voting because it's going to have direct impacts on communities and our communities. I mean, voter suppression is so real, and there's a reason why they are trying to suppress people's votes, and that's because it is going to have an impact. And also recognizing that it's one of the tools in our toolbox for making change. People are valid for feeling disillusioned, but also, we just really need people to get out and vote.
to participate in whatever is left of our democracy at this point, and taking it back, right? Like being involved in at least in part time with organizations like Native Movement, or causes such as the cause of the Mi'kma'ki people. In Alaska and like you said, down here in the Bay Area, the multitude of causes. I mean, there's darn near, you know, 20 to 30 protests a day out here, scattered all over the Bay Area, and so there's work being done, and it's a lot of it is noble and is, you know, people devoting their lives to it. We still need more people, right, being involved in these types of issues. And so thank you for bringing the Native Movement and what concerns the Native movement has to the program here today.
Yeah, thanks. Been a great conversation.
Absolutely, and also the we had talked about it, alluded to it a little bit earlier. This is also in part an art show as well. So yeah, but I mean, I could talk about the issues all day. Those are the really, really important things. But as an artist, how important is it to your work to find some sort of connection with activism or cause?
I think it's really at the heart of most of my artwork. I mean, this is how I'm particularly passionate about how art plays a crucial role in our narrative strategies in social and environmental justice movements. How we can use art in a strategic way. It's not just decorative in organizing. And so a lot of my work is about, it's not just about inspiring people to get involved. It's not just about like providing joy and celebration to activists who are already involved, but also the work that I do in pushing organizations that I work with to bring more artists to the table, or to recognize that art is strategic and we need artists to be involved and paid and supported. I can't really separate my political work from my artwork at all, and they blur all the time. I don't even really know what is my personal work versus my work. Like, what does that even mean? I it's just what I do. Yeah. At this point. It's what I live it for and breathe for, and it's also how I emotionally process through doing this kind of hard work and celebrate the people that I work with, really.
Yeah, I think you're able to, in your artwork, you could find it at Jessica Thornton Designs on Instagram. You can definitely tell the ability that you have to amplify certain symbols or certain causes and groups of people through your work. And it comes out just like you said, as from the perspective of someone who is passionate about the work they're doing. And so if anybody wants to see that, go to the Instagram page. And so art and activism blended together without any personal, reasons of doing it. That's what you're going to find in Jessica Thornton's work. It's all about the activism. And so that kind of brings me to the last segment. A lot of the people who listen to the show are art students or students of mine. And so in terms of this younger generation who we've already amplified and lifted up in this conversation, so many of them are my teachers, I might as well be their students. Well, what would you say to students who are thinking about, a life within any sort of visual art or performing art, about the role of activism and the role that activism plays in that creative pursuit?
I think... there's a reason why art and artists have always played a central role in movements and social movements. I think art in general is always political, because we are expressing what matters to us. We are expressing what we want to communicate to the world, and what we say or what even what we don't say is a political decision in and of itself. I think when I also teach in my work, and a lot of students also come to me like, oh, how do you get involved in activism work? And I think at the heart of it is relationships. You know, you have, I don't just randomly make art for things that matter. Like I'm also like directly working in my community as an organizer. And I think that's important if you want your art to have a real impact. And if you are working in the arts and action space, like I think you learn a lot. You learn a lot of valuable lessons. You learn how to work collaboratively. You learn how to like form messages, like what is effective messaging, like, and all of those things are, you know, it's all about community and finding community. So the first thing that I usually tell students or people who want to get involved in the activism work as artists is to reach out to the organizers or grassroots groups or organizations that are already doing this work and get involved and just start showing up. And then soon enough, like, you can support with the skills you have, but it's all about finding your community. And once you have that community, it's beautiful because there's trust and, you know, having relationships where people can give you honest feedback. You also have to be open to feedback, but like that's how you create effective art in activism spaces, I think. So I don't know if that answered your question, but
it answered it better than I could have asked for. You know, coming from Finland like you have, and being raised in the Netherlands, and now doing your work in Alaska. When Jessica Thornton says find your community, that's because she was able to find hers, and if she could find hers, you could find yours in your own hometown, people.
Like, yes, get, for sure.
Get involved. What a great message. Show up, get involved. Find your community and be inspired. Like, that could not have answered it any better. And thank you for sharing that amazing sentiment with us today. And I hope that there are going to be people listening to this, that especially the young people, because we need them to clean up a whole lot of mess over the years, that they're going to find their community because of you. So thank you again for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
All right. Well, take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Thanks.
Special thanks to Jessica Thornton for joining us today on Artivism Now. You could find their work and more on Instagram at Jessica Thornton Designs. Organizations to follow on Instagram at Defend the Sacred AK, at Native_Movement. And if you wish to purchase any of Jessica's work, you could find it at jessicathorntondesigns.com. And remember, artists out there, keep it lit, let it flow, let it mean something, and goodbye.